OU Israel presents
Come in. Welcome.
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky. This show is a special one for Parshat Naso and for Shavuot. Recording and first broadcast is Thursday, Yom Chamishi, the second day of Sivan, 5768, June 5th, on the general secular calendar. In preparation for this show, I've been agonizing what to say and what I'll have to leave out, and my thoughts are so cluttered with all kind of different things to share with you that I hope to get something accomplished. But I want some music in there also, especially in the following the dry period of the Omer. Speaking of music, the theme that I've been using for the opener for a number of years now is the melody to the song Eitz Chaim Hi L'Machazikim Ba, and that, of course, belongs all the time, and especially for Shavuot. It talks about the Torah being a living tree to those who grab onto it, and that's part of what I would like to give over in the course of this show. But first, since we don't say Tachanun from Rosh Chodesh Sivan through the 13th of the month, we'll be saying Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph, Psalm 121. I want to make it clear again that there is no rule about this. It has been my practice for many years to say Shir Hamalot, Psalm 130. And recently, we decided here at the Israel Center, at my suggestion, to alternate Psalms 121 and 130 and let the determining factor be whether it is a day when we say Tachanun or a day when we don't say Tachanun. There is nothing halachic about that. It is just a feeling that I wanted to get across of the flavor of the day as indicated by whether we say Tachanun or not. In any event, Psalm 121. Shir lama'alot esa einai el heharim me'ayin yavo ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim va'oretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha Adonai tzilecha al yad yeminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach baloila. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha me'ata v'ad olam. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanetunim batzara uvashivya, ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem aleihem v'yotzieim mitzara lirvacha u'me'afela l'ora u'mishibud l'gu'ula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv v'nomar amen. Let's get into the Shavuot mode and mood, and I'm specifically looking at Shavuot at the moment as Zman Matan Toratenu, the time of the giving of the Torah, although many commentaries point out that the Torah is conspicuously silent as to which day we received the Torah. In fact, the holiday of Shavuot is not dated in the Torah. It is our tradition to observe Shavuot on the 6th of Sivan. That is based on being the 50th day following the beginning of the counting of the Omer from the second day of Pesach. But it is not at all certain that the Torah was actually given on the 6th of Sivan. Perhaps it was the 7th of Sivan, and there are various debates and disputes, controversies, based on various passages in the Torah. But that really is not relevant, because We receive the Torah. We associate it with Shavuot. We call Shavuot Zman Matan Toratenu. That's what it represents to us, in addition to being Yom HaBikurim, in addition to being the time when the world is judged for the yield of the fruit trees, the time of the cutting of the first wheat, which is offered in the Beit HaMikdash as the Shtei HaLechem. Shavuot has many facets to it, from the Torah itself, an agricultural presentation, and from our tradition, this very, very important concept of Zman Matan Toratenu. The acceptance of the Torah by the people of Israel is symbolized by two special words, Na'aseh V'Nishma. As a matter of fact, twice the Torah, in talking about the reaction of the Jewish people to the offer of the Torah, mention only the word Na'aseh, Vaya'an Kol Ha'am Kol Echad, and the people, the nation, responded with one voice, Vayomeru, and they said, Kol Hadvarim Asher Diber Hashem, all the things that God has spoken, Na'aseh, we will do. This is from the end of Parshat Mishpatim. A couple of psukim later, we have Vayikach Sefer HaBrit Vayikra Ba'aznei Ha'am. Moshe took the Book of the Covenant and read it to the people. Vayomeru Kol Asher Diber Hashem Na'aseh V'Nishma. Now, the special quality of Na'aseh V'Nishma is the putting of the commitment of Na'aseh even before the hope of Nishma, the connotation of which means to understand. God tells me to do something. My commitment is to do it. My challenge, my personal quest, is to understand what I'm doing, but my commitment to do it is not based upon my understanding of what I am being asked to do or what I am being commanded not to do. That does not speak for everybody. There are many people who say, show me the relevance or the significance of Shabbat, of Kashrut, of this, that, or the other thing, and I might consider doing it. But that is not the traditional commitment of Na'aseh V'Nishma, for which we, the Jewish people, are so tremendously praised for, to the point where there's a midrash that says that the angels demanded to know who divulged this secret of commitment to God to the Jewish people, since it is not a natural human reaction when you're told to do something. Just think in terms of the people around you, parents, spouse, children, colleagues, whatever. Can you do me a favor? Some people respond to that, sure, and other people say, what? There, I think, is a way of understanding a difference between Na'aseh V'Nishma and what it could have been. We'll talk more about that, but listen to a relatively short musical clip from an album called Taste of Yom Tov. This particular one, the Shavuot album, and this clip is Uva'u Chulam, and they all came to commit themselves with the words Na'aseh V'Nishma. A Taste of Yom Tov, the Shavuot album. I want to reiterate that the ideal is to approach one's commitment to Torah, to a Jewish way of life, with, I'll do it because this is what's required of me, and then develop the understanding and appreciation. That's the goal. But on a practical level, there are many situations where one has to be a little bit more convinced that he should be doing such and such or avoid doing such and such. And that's part of the, of Jewish life. I was going to say that's okay too. It's certainly we don't reject a child who says, or a fellow Jew who says of any age, who says, I'm not comfortable with this, I don't understand it, it doesn't make sense to me, explain it to me. That's fine. But what we prefer, what's nicer is, of course I'm going to do it, but I really would like to know why. That's much better. In any event, another important, condition, factor in one's commitment to Torah is to recognize that Torah is not merely an intellectual pursuit, but it is a mitzvah. It is part of a way of life. It's more than part of a way of life. And one of the ways this is demonstrated to the person himself is the requirement of every morning to arise bright and shiny and, among other things, recite the blessings for Torah. Now, it's significant to pay attention to the wording. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, that's the standard beginning of Brachot. We won't get involved with the explanation of each of those words. Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav, God who has sanctified us with His mitzvot. V'tzivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah, and has commanded us to involve ourselves, to busy ourselves, to immerse ourselves in words of Torah, in things of Torah. Hard to render that into English. An important point, though, is that it's not command to study Torah just, which is a mitzvah as well, but the text, the wording that our sages composed for that bracha, which essentially is for Torah learning, recognizes that Torah learning on its own is missing the putting of it into action. And the term La'asok B'divrei Torah conveys more than just being immersed in Torah study, but it's in immersion in Torah study for the purpose of putting it into action, to immerse oneself completely in Torah. Interestingly, in most cases, a blessing for a mitzvah is just that. You want to wash your hands ritually for a meal that begins with bread. You make an asher kiddushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al netilat yadayim. You sit down to eat matzah at the Seder table. It's al achilat matzah. You count the omer. It's al sfirat ha-omer. Which reminds me, I didn't tell you how many, but last night, which was Wednesday night, and Thursday is day 46 of the Omer, which is 6 weeks and 4 days. We're winding down or up to the complete 7 weeks. We've got Thursday night, which will be 47, Friday night, 48, Motzoi Shabbat, Saturday night is 49, Saturday night, Sunday, the complete day, is the 49th day of the Omer, and at the completion of 49 days, 7 full weeks, with Sunday evening, we begin the holiday of Shavuot. As I was saying, in most brachot of a mitzvah, you make a bracha, you do the mitzvah. In the case of Torah learning, our sages attached to the blessing a conclusion of the blessing, which becomes part of it. And it's almost, you get the feeling that it's a lot easier to eat in a sukkah and to count the omer and to put on tefillin and put a mezuzah on your doorpost and all the various things for which we make a blessing for a bracha. But immersion in Torah is such a complete commitment that we need to attach to the blessing a prayer and petition to God. V'ha'arevna Hashem Elokeinu. God, make sweet et divrei Toratecha befinu, the words of your Torah in my mouth, in our mouths. U'befi amacha beit Yisrael, and in the mouths of all of your nation Israel. V'nihye anachnu, and may we, v'tze'etzo'enu, and our offspring, v'tze'etzo'e amacha beit Yisrael, and the offspring of all of our fellow Jews, kulanu yode'ei shemecha, that we should all know well your name, v'lomedei toratecha lishma, and that we should be able to learn Torah purely for the sake of learning Torah. Notwithstanding what I said before, that one learns Torah in order to put it into action, there is a dimension, a level of Torah learning which is with no other purpose except the learning of it for the sake of learning. And that's part of it as well. And we conclude, Baruch Ato Hashem, blessed are you, God, Hamelamed Torah La'amo Yisrael, who taught the Torah to the people of Israel. These words of V'ha'arevna were put to music on that same Shavuot album. Listen to them now. Enjoy the music, but enjoy also on a spiritual level the petition to God as a person getting up in the morning and saying, God, I have a commitment to be the best Jew that I can possibly can, and it means immersing myself in Torah, and I ask you that that should be for me a pleasant experience and a total commitment for me, for my offspring, my children, and their children, and all of my fellow Jews.
narevno Hashem Eloike Yinu Es divrei soiros lo befidi Yinu O yu befidi oi samlego Beis Yisrael Am chobobo Beis Yisrael Yoy ve'yarevno Hashem Eloikeinu Es divrei soiros lo befidinu Yoy befidio zamecho Oy beis Yisrove Amcho beis Yisrove
Listening to
Torah Tidbits Audio.
Rest your eyes.
This week's printed Torah Tidbits is a monster 76-page issue. It covers Parshat Noso, which we're not going to really get to talk about, Shavuot, and next week's Baha'alotcha. Since with Shavuot on Sunday night, Monday, I decided that we would be too pressed to put out a regular issue next week, so this is a double or triple issue, as it might be called, and it contains an 8-page piece on Shavuot, including a topic which I would like to present in a way that I can't say is new to me. It's something that I have not yet written about in this context. And personally, I like that idea because every year when I come up to each of the holidays, I wonder if it's going to be a been there, did it experience, or I'm going to have some kind of new insight and new way of looking at it. And I've never been disappointed. It sometimes takes a little bit of work, and sometimes it just falls into my lap. But let me go from the general commitment to Torah and a Torah way of life that I have been talking about till now, and take a specific example, one that belongs any time during the year, and one that happens to be associated with Shavuot's culinary customs. I speak specifically about dairy foods that are associated with Shavuot, be it cheese or cheesecake or cheese blintzes or all three, and all kind of other dairy dishes. Now, what I have written year after year, and I think is fairly standard, is the various reasons that are given for this custom of associating dairy dishes with Shavuot. But in a way of analyzing them, that some of the reasons that are given are specifically why we have dairy. And other of the reasons are why we have both dairy and meat that we are careful to keep apart as the Torah commands us. You'll see what I mean as I give different reasons. For example, there is a verse in Shir HaShirim that alludes to Torah as honey and milk under your tongue, dvash v'chalav tachat lishonech. And, as a matter of fact, in addition to the dairy products, there are some who have the minhag of mixing honey with milk or with yogurt or sour cream or whatever to remind us of this verse and of this image. So that has no reference at all to meat. That's a dairy thing. Then you have the idea that the first Shavuot in the Midbar, when our ancestors ate only dairy dishes, what does that mean? This is because eating kosher meat after receiving the Torah requires much preparation. And the analogy that I use for that is today a person who makes a decision to become kosher will either turn vegetarian or at least subsist on yogurts and cottage cheese until he gets his new pots and pans and until he finds out where he should buy his meat and how to prepare this and koshering and everything like that, so that there's an association of starting out a life of Torah with dairy. And that too has nothing yet to do with meat. Meat belongs on Yom Tov. This is for a person who enjoys eating meat or whatever, because it's a Yom Tov and it requires simcha. And, as the expression goes, ein simcha ela bebasar v'yayin. Definition of simcha is meat and wine, provided, I'll add again in parentheses, that you like meat and wine. A person who does not like meat or does not eat meat for various reasons does not have to eat meat on Shavuot. If we had a Beit HaMikdash and we had Korbanot and it was Pesach time and it was time to eat Korban Pesach, then even your most committed vegetarian is going to have to eat one kazayit worth of roast lamb of Korban Pesach. But generally, in context of today's definitions, there are opinions that say it must be there, meat, but there are others that say that's because the average person enjoys a meat meal, and therefore it constitutes simcha by definition. If you have an aversion to meat for whatever reason, and you have a cheese lasagna as your favorite all-time dish, or a tuna casserole, then that's what you're supposed to have on Yom Tov. But again, we're talking first level about the different reasons for having dairy dishes on Shavuot, in addition to having meat on Shavuot, because it's a chag. But those are two interests. They're not combined yet. They will be. Of course, not actually combined, because that's a problem. But that's the whole point. First level is, it's Yom Tov, you have meat meals. It's Shavuot, you have dairy dishes. That comes out in practical terms, where some people will have this Sunday night a dairy meal, and Monday the main meal will be meat. And some will have meat at night and dairy in the day. And some will actually have a very abbreviated dairy meal at night, followed by a break, 15-20 minutes, and a second meal of the main meat meal, combining the two in that way. When I say combining, I only mean it by putting it next to each other, but not combining, because that's forbidden, which you'll see is one of the main points here in the first place. In any event, continuing on that line that we're talking about dairy specifically, you have a reference in Tehillim to one of the names of Har Sinai, Mount Sinai. It's called Gavnunim, and the word Gavnunim comes from the same root as Givina, which is cheese. I don't know if that was the reason, but it's there into this mix. The numeric value of the word Chalav is 40, and 40 we associate with the 40 days and nights that Moshe Rabbeinu spent on Har Sinai receiving the Torah. Here's another reason that focuses on dairy only. According to tradition, Moshe Rabbeinu was born on the 7th of Adar and was successfully hidden by his parents for 3 months. It was on the future Shavuot, 3 months after 7th of Adar, is the 6th or the 7th of Sivan. It was on that day that baby Moshe was placed in a basket on the river and found by the daughter of Paro. Our tradition is that Moshe refused to nurse from an Egyptian wet nurse. Hence Miriam suggested to the daughter of Paro that she bring a wet nurse from among the Jews, which she did, and she brought Moshe's mother Yocheved, and the idea, the bottom line of that particular tradition is that he from whose mouth all of Israel learned Torah could not drink mother's milk from a non-Jew. We remember this with dairy dishes on the date of Matan Torah, which is the date that Moshe was found in the Nile. Now, a whole other dimension, as I mentioned earlier, is Dafka having meat and milk, but paying careful attention to the separation, which we must do all the time. And this is because the Torah twice writes the following verse, Reshit Bikurei Admatcha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha, the first fruits of the ground you shall bring to the house of God, to the Beit HaMikdash. Lo Tavashel Gedi Bachalev Imo, do not cook a goat in its mother's milk. A very strange combination of mitzvot, the mitzvah to bring Bikurim, the prohibition against eating milk and meat, which don't seem to be related to each other. Without trying to explain that, although some of the commentaries suggest that it is on holidays that people ate meat more often than not, and the attention to proper separation of milk and meat was something that they were reminded of around holiday time, and in the context, especially in Parshat Mishpatim, you have a presentation of all of the Chagim, and then the comment of Lo Tavashel Gedi, not to cook meat with milk. But there's more. If Shavuot is Yom HaBikurim, the day that begins the Bikurim bringing season, then you have a juxtaposition of the command to bring Bikurim with the prohibition of milk and meat, and it is perhaps the origin or an origin of the custom of having both dairy and meat on Shavuot, and of course paying careful attention to keeping them separate. So one fulfills Lo Tavashel Gedi Bachalev Imo on the day of Reshit Bikurei Admatcha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha. Now, I think up till now, this is all old stuff, at least for me, and now is something that I've been talking about for years, but I just realized its connection in the context of Shavuot. And it is based on the same verse of not cooking meat with milk. There's a medrash, part of a collection of midrashim that's called Medrash Peliah, Wondrous Medrash. And I have shared this with the listenership in the past. The medrash says, when God dictated to Moshe to write into the Torah, thou shalt not levashel, lo tevashel gedi bachalev imo. It's not an easy verse to translate, by the way. It's usually rendered as, thou shalt not seethe a kid in its mother's milk. Kid, gedi, in this context, we are taught, refers to the young of cow, goat, or sheep, any of the kosher domesticated animals, in its mother's milk. And when God, let's go back and say it more smoothly. When God dictated to Moshe, Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, upiresh lo, and explained to him the laws of milk and meat that he was to explain to the people, Moshe Rabbeinu asked permission of God to write basar b'chalav. Meaning, let me write down Lo tevashel basar b'chalav. Because if you're teaching me, he says to God, that gedi b'chalev imo, a young animal in its mother's milk, includes the prohibition of cooking any meat with any milk, then people are going to get confused. They're not going to understand the subtlety of the message of gedi b'chalev imo, and they're going to perhaps come up with wrong conclusions about regular meat and dairy mixed together. Let me write basar b'chalav. If this is how you're explaining it, let me make it simpler and write it. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God said to him, Kitav lecha et hadvarim ha'ele. You write these words that I am telling you. Again, Moshe wants to make our lives easier. He said, to avoid confusion, let me write, don't cook meat with milk. Don't eat milk and meat mixtures. Don't derive any benefit from milk and meat mixtures that have been cooked together. God says, that's what you will explain to the people. That's what you will teach them. But the words in the written Torah shall be exactly as I dictated, Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, and it says it three times. Twice in Shmot, Mishpatim and Kitisa, in identical psukim of Reshit Bikurei Admatcha Tavi Beit Hashem Elokecha, Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, and the third time in Parshat Re'eh, in the context of the prohibition of eating meat from an animal that died other than by Shechita, and then the prohibition of cooking milk with meat, which there teaches us about the deriving of benefit. Now, I purposely did not conclude a verse before. Let's do it now. Right after Lo Tevashel Gedi B'Chalev Imo, there is a paragraph break, so to speak. I'm talking about its appearance in Parshat Kitisa. And then the Torah says, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, God says to Moshe, Ketav lecha et hadvarim ha'ela, write down these things, ki al pi hadvarim ha'ela, because on the basis of these things, korati itcha brit ve'et Yisrael, I have made a covenant with you and with the Jewish people. Vayhi sham im Hashem arba'im yom va'arba'im laila lechem lo achalu mayim lo shata vayichtov al haluchot et divrei habrit aseret hadvarim. There, the Torah is telling us, here, that God instructs Moshe to write down these things on the basis of the way you write it, of the written word, and, I will add, the explanation of the oral Torah. That is the basis of our covenant with God, and it is very important that the words be exactly as dictated. Now, it seems that the plain understanding of the verse, it's talking about the writing of the whole Torah, or certainly the Aseret HaDibrot, but really the whole Torah as well. Not specifically the Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. But there is a smichut ha-parshiot here, a juxtaposition of the portions, which has Lo tevashel, thou shalt not cook meat with milk, followed immediately by the command of Kitav lecha et ha-devarim ha-ela, you write these words. And the commentaries on that midrash explain that the wording is obscure in and of itself, only elucidated by the oral law, and therefore the basis of the covenant with God, between God and the Jewish people is the fact that we committed ourselves to, among many other things, the laws of milk and meat, even though the written word only says, Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo. In other words, if there were to be a divergent sect of Jews or a group of non-Jews who say, I have the Bible, I looked into the Bible, and the Bible says, don't cook a goat in its mother's milk, and I won't because I listened to the word of God, but don't tell me that the cheeseburger that I'm eating or whatever other dish, beef stroganoff, is a violation of the Torah, but the Torah only says, Gedi b'chalev imo. And this milk that I, or sour cream that I am cooking the beef stroganoff with, did not come from the same cow as the meat did, nor was it its mother or anything like that. And therefore, these people, these individuals and these sects and these groups, separate the written word from its meaning as transmitted by God to Moshe to be taught to the people of Israel, then that puts these people outside the covenantal relationship with God that he is referring to here. Ketav lecha et ha-devarim ha-ela. You write these words down and understand it in the proper way that I am teaching you, so that this will demonstrate the covenant and relationship that we have. Therefore, basar b'chalav, milk and meat, becomes like a microcosm of all of Torah and all of the covenant with God by the Jewish people. And people who don't see the explanation of milk and meat as being Torah law, from our perspective, are not part of that agreement, are not part of that covenant. In a very poor and weak analogy, if a person makes a deal with another individual that every morning that individual will bring him a cup of coffee and explains to him that the coffee has to go with a prune Danish, that's the deal. But the handshake, the official even text of the agreement between them mentioned a cup of coffee, but the person who was making this deal said, I want you to understand something, not going to write it down, but I want you to understand that this commitment to a cup of coffee includes a prune Danish every single morning. Someone else comes along and says, here's your cup of coffee. Where's the prune Danish? It didn't say anything in writing about a prune Danish, but I explained that cup of coffee in this context means coffee and a Danish. No, I go by what's written. Then we do not have the basis of that agreement. This, I don't know if I'm getting it across or I'm overkilling, but this is what basar b'chalav, milk and meat, symbolize. And it goes further. The commentaries mention that heavenly angels themselves, as evidenced by the ones who visited Avraham, also did not understand the total meaning of Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, and therefore the Torah is not for them either. The basis of the brit, the covenant between God and the Jewish people, is summarized by Lo tevashel gedi b'chalev imo, meaning no milk and meat together. And therefore, on the day when we commemorate the covenant between God and the people of Israel, namely the giving of the Torah, we symbolize it by the custom that developed of having dairy and having meat and having them properly separated. And I think that that's a very powerful reason behind this tradition of dairy dishes, because it speaks to the essential nature of the giving of the Torah to the people of Israel by God. On that note, I wish you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chag Sameach, and a renewed Kabbalat HaTorah. Lehishtameya.
Shalem el libu yir libu nechol lamoches luvayl Oy ve libu nechol lamoches luvayl Leta ver chayim ver leshlom Oy ve sashlim Shalem el libu yir libu nechol lamoches luvayl Oy ve libu nechol lamoches luvayl Leta ver chayim ver leshlom